Praise God.
Let my room.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord emotions.
Yes.
Bless the Lord
emotions. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord intellect.
Thank you.
Bless the Lord your understanding.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Bless the
yes.
Lord your soul. Thank and let everything you. That's within you praise you.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father.
Thank
glory
you.
To God.
Thank
glory
you.
To God. Hallelujah.
Thank
hallelujah.
You.
Praise your name, Father. Praise your name. Father, I just come in your presence right now. I ask you to have your way this, here today. I ask you to pour your spirit through me today and just... give us ears to hear what your spirit would speak to us and just minister to each heart here today, Father. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor. You're the only one worthy of it, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we just ask you to have your way. And Father, I just pray that your will be done in the Middle East over there and all that's going on over there, Father. You know exactly what the whole purposes of all of those things are. But Father, we were told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and Father, we pray for the natural Jerusalem, but most of all, we pray for the spiritual Jerusalem, Father. And we pray, Father, that your will be done in your body, in the church, which is your body, in the bride of Christ, that the Jerusalem which is above is the mother of us all, Father. And I thank you, Father, that even as the things happen in the natural, we know that there's warfare going on in the spirit also. We ask you, Father, to just, we know that victory, that song we sing, victory, oh victory, now is mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory, oh victory, now is mine. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you give us the victory each and every day. You help us each and every day to just move forward in you. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. For surely I would declare unto this people that I am going to have a victorious people. And as you walk in me and I walk in you, then you'll find that my the battle is already over, says the Lord. And I don't care what it looks like on the outside, but the battle is over because I have overcome all things. And when I died upon Calvary and I said, it is finished, it was finished then, but the reality of it must come into existence in your life. And as you do acknowledge me each and every day, as you do praise me each and every day, you shall find that that victory shall begin to rise up in you. And truly you shall be a victorious people, and you shall overcome all that which would try to come against you. For surely I will cause you to be a people of victory, a people of overcoming.
Yes.
And Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, because you just love your people so much, Father. You've given so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The title to my sermon today is Follow the Cloud. Okay, and you may recall that during the Jews' immigration across the desert, God guided them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The cloud was a visible symbol of God's presence. When the cloud moved, it was the Jews' responsibility to observe the movement and to respond accordingly. When the cloud settled down over the tent, they were also to settle down. If, however, they were preoccupied or indifferent to the cloud's movement, they could easily miss God's direction and protection. You know, as the Lord commanded them to encamp, at the Lord's command, they sat down. And there's times when God tells you to sit down, and there's times when God tells you to move. And you know, we need to be obedient whenever the Lord's telling us to do anything. You know, a lot of times, I honestly believe that there's times in the body of Christ when God will speak to our heart or encourage us, or we'll feel like we're supposed to do something and we don't do it because we think, oh, well, that would be out of order, or that would be, you know, unusual or something. Don't feel that way. Be obedient to what the Lord tells you to do when He tells you to do it. Don't say, well, I'll do it next week, or I'll do it 3 days from now. Do it when God tells you. You know, I've heard people say in the past, I didn't feel like the time was right. If God's given it to you, the time's right.
Amen.
Do what God tells you to do when He tells you to do it. You know, responding to the movement of the cloud is an illustration of our being led by the Holy Spirit. Today, the Holy Spirit, like the cloud, guided the Jews quietly and gently, guides us if we are spiritually attuned to His urgings. Depending upon the spiritual sensitivity, we can either be guided by the Spirit or we can grieve the Spirit. You know, we have a choice to make. And you know, I'm going to tell you, there's times when God will tell you to do something and you think, oh my God, what happens if nothing happens, or what happens if this happens? You know, your mind starts twirling and trying to talk you out of doing whatever God's telling you to do. But I tell you what, don't let that happen. Because I learned a long time ago, you're not responsible for what happens. You're only responsible for doing what the Lord tells you to do when He tells you to do it. And if you'll take that attitude, you'll find that a lot of miraculous things will begin to happen around you and through you, and you'll minister to other people in a special way. You know, depending on our spiritual sensitivity, we can either be guided by the Spirit or we can grieve the Spirit, like I said. You know, in Romans 8:14, it says this, all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And in some translations, it says as many as are led by the Spirit. And I believe that, you know, there's a difference between being led and being driven. God don't drive you. You know, I love the illustration that I heard years ago about the shepherds over in the Middle East when they came up to a watering hole. You know, we don't have really shepherds in this country. We have sheep herders. You know, they herd sheep. In other countries, a lot of times they herd sheep. But I heard a minister say that he happened to be in a place where there was a bunch of there was a watering hole, and these people had sheep, and he was observing, and as he observed, he saw, you know, this shepherd bring his sheep in, and another shepherd bring his sheep in, and they all started mixing around in around the well as they were getting water, you know, and you know the thing about it is that when the shepherds got ready to leave, they didn't have dogs or anything barking at them to make them go. The shepherd walked away and started calling the sheep by name. And as he called them by name, they pulled out from the other sheep and followed him, followed the master. And you know, that's the way God wants to deal with us. He wants us to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He wants us, Scripture says, my sheep know my voice, and another they won't follow. And you know, I've heard people say, well, how could this minister do this, or how could this minister do that? And you know what? That's because maybe they weren't listening to the Lord. And it's not for us to judge what God's doing in a certain situation all the time, but what it is for us to do is to love people in spite of where they're at or in spite of what they do. There was talk back in Sunday school about sometimes where people even want to argue with you and things like that, you know. Well, you know what? I won't argue with people. I'll talk with them. And I had a chance last weekend where we had some relatives over, and one of them was talking about that he was going to a certain kind of church, and he started telling me some of the things that he's been taught and all this and that. And I said, well, that's good. You know, I said, if you feel like that's where God's got you, that's where you should go. You know, and he started asking me questions. And I had a little different view than what he had been taught, you know. So I kind of told him, and he says, yeah, but he says, you know, he was talking about the resurrection and people when they die, they're laying in the grave and they're just laying there and there's no moving on or anything like that. Well, I know better than that. I mean, you know, and even scripture says different than that, because we were talking about that back in Sunday school about Moses and Elijah appearing unto Jesus, you know, about Samuel being called up from the dead in a wrong way, you know. And, you know, scripture says we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses that are urging us to go on. Well, what are those witnesses? Those are those who have stepped through the veil into the presence of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that they're all that they're going to be, because scripture says that they're waiting for us to come into perfection, that they can receive that perfection too. Now, we don't know what all that means at this point. We have some glimmer of understanding in some of those things, but you know, I don't worry about the things that I don't understand. And I just tell the Lord, Lord, whatever you want me to know, you'll tell me, you know, and I believe that. And as long as we just trust the Lord, we'll be okay. You know, Romans 8:14 says this, and do not, this is Ephesians 4:3, I got it written down wrong. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. You know, right now, in our lifetime, where we're at right now, we've received the Spirit in measure. Now, a lot of people want to claim they've got it in fullness. I haven't really seen anybody that's got it in fullness so far. Maybe some of them out there do have it in fullness, but I haven't. I've never seen it in any of them. And the ones that tend to claim that they do have it in fullness, I'm sorry, I haven't seen it, because I haven't seen the love and I haven't seen the forgiveness and the things that really need to be, need to be there. That's right, the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what the scripture says, but it doesn't say by their education or by their knowledge of being able to quote scripture or anything else. It says by their fruits shall you know them. And you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, those kind of things. And until you see that in people's lives, they're not fully mature yet, until you see it in the fullness. You know, I've told you guys a story about me when I was a kid, that, you know, where I lived on Sycamore Hill over Mount Auburn. And one of the first houses we lived in there, second house we lived in, next door, these people had a grape arbor, and they had grapes. You know, grapes would grow in there. And I've shared this with you before. I love grapes. That's one of my favorite fruits. A lot of times when we go to the store, we always check out the price of grapes. I always do anyway. Margaret's real good about getting me grapes, but she don't hardly eat them, and I end up eating them all, so I'm kind of get her to slack up on them a little bit, because I eat a whole big bowl of grapes if I ain't careful, because I love them so much. But when I was a kid, these people had a grape arbor, and they didn't do anything with the grapes, you know, because they weren't the original people that had planted this thing, and it was big, I mean. And I, as a kid, would climb over there and try to eat them grapes, and they were them purple Concord grapes, you know, purple grapes, and they'd be green. And because I liked grapes so much, I'd try to eat a green grape. And there's nothing as sour as a green grape. I mean, it's sour. I mean, you take a bite and then you spit it out, because it's that sour. But I tried them different times when they were green. I was persistent, or stupid, one of the two. I don't know which one it was. But, you know, once they got purple, I'd climb over there and I'd get them and eat them. And they didn't care. you know, because they weren't going to do anything with them. And you know what? That's the way it is in people's lives. A lot of the Christian people out there, their grapes are still green. And you know what? We just need to love them and say, Lord, send the sunshine, send the rain. You know, send more sunshine, send more rain. And you know, as he sends the rain and the sunshine into their life, eventually that grape is going to turn to purple or whatever color it's supposed to be, and it's going to be a sweet, sweet taste. And you know, we have to realize that when we run into people, Christian people even, and people out in the world, it's the same thing. And you know, if you haven't grown to maturity all the way, you can't make yourself mature. God, you know, the word declares that God is the only one that gives the increase. He gives the increase. You can try to increase yourself all you want. I remember, Mark, I hope Mark don't mind me talking about him a little bit. I remember when he was a little boy, he used to say to his mother, he'd say, "You think I'm going to be tall? You think I'm going to be tall?" Because Mark didn't have very big feet, you know, and he's sort of was like a puppy, you know, he didn't have big feet. If a puppy's got big feet, it's going to get big and tall. And, you know, but God blessed him with real big hands. He's got big old hands. I mean, but he doesn't have real big feet for his size. And Margaret would always tell him, "Pray real hard, Mark, pray real hard." And Mark's pretty tall. He's taller than me, you know. So he's a little bit over 6 feet. So, you know, so God blessed him with that height that he prayed about. Never did get real big feet, though. But he's got big hands. I mean, he's got some... His hands are way bigger. I got good sized hands. His hands are way bigger than mine. But you know what? God knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. And you know, when we deal with people out there in the world today, we have to come to realize God's in control. He's the one that gives the increase. We can't make them. You know, if sometime a Christian says something to you and maybe it offends you or hurts your feelings or something, just say, "Lord, send the sunshine and the rain on that person." And, you know, just keep praying for them. Love them in spite of that. We were talking about love back there in Sunday school. And, you know, you need to love people in spite of what they're doing or how they are. Sometimes they can't help the way they are because they just haven't been changed totally yet. And sometimes we might have a tendency to say, "How in the world could a Christian do that?" You know what? What you end up finding eventually, if you say that very much, is that God will get you almost in that same situation, and you'll find out you didn't squeeze so sweet either, you know, that maybe you was a little sour in that situation, you know. You know, but anyway, I'm going to read on a little farther here, and it says, how is it for us to be under a cloud, so to speak? And I'm talking about sometimes we're under a cloud where it's not the Lord's cloud. We're a little foggy. You know, I'm getting to the age sometimes where I get a little foggy every now and then. I don't remember things like I used to and all that stuff. But I'm getting better at that. But anyway, it says, foggy by spiritual dullness and insensitivity to the things of God, thereby missing his leading and convicting and sustaining force. Today, are you under the cloud of spiritual mediocrity? Are you following the cloud in response to God's direction and purpose for your life? You know, I remember having some of the brothers, a couple of the brothers say to me years ago, they would say to me, "You know, Brother Oscar, we need to give people more direction." And the brother who said that to me, I said, "Well, brother," I said, "I can't give people more direction unless God gives me a word for them to give them more direction." I said, "If I try to give them more direction and it comes from me, it's not going to be a good thing." You know, so a lot of times, you know, people will say, "Well, how come the Lord didn't send a word, send me a word?" Well, he'll send you a word when it's time for you to need a word. But a lot of times what he really wants you to do is go directly to him and not look to somebody else. Because when you're looking to somebody else, they can send you the wrong way sometimes. And we've had that happen in times past, even in this church years and years ago, We had a young brother that was prophesied to, you know, that God wanted him into ministry and all this and that, and he ended up, not by any of us that are here today, didn't do that to him, but he ended up quitting his job and doing all kind of stuff. His health went way down. He lost his family. Everything happened bad to him eventually. And you know what? Sometimes God, he even has those purposes for you, but it's in his timing. It's not in your timing. You need to just be moved when God tells you to move, and you need to be still and know that he's God until he does tell you to move. And he'll let you know when he wants you to do something. But if you don't move when God begins to inspire you to do something, and you know, you can't blame anybody for that except yourself, you know. And, you know, the Lord gave me this other scriptures here. And Isaiah 44:6 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer to the Lord of hosts, I am first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God." And in Isaiah 44:24, this, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." And I'm going to tell you what, it's all God. You know. Years ago there was a song out, and it was, I loved this song. It was, "I Know My Redeemer Lives," and it was Nicole C. Mullen, I think, that sung it. Oh, I love that song. Great song. And the words to that song went like this: "Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only come this far? Who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words can catch a falling star? I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies. This life within me cries. I know my Redeemer lives." You know? And you know he is our Redeemer. And he's our kinsman Redeemer. I shared with you all a while back about the message of the two brass pillars that were out in front of the temple. And one of them was Boaz. And Boaz was the kinsman Redeemer for Ruth. And, you know, when Ruth came and laid at his feet, you know, she went in and gleaned among the wheat, and Boaz was kind to her. And back in those days, if a woman went into the fields, she wasn't always really safe, because sometimes the field workers would, you know, molest on them and stuff and do bad stuff. And Boaz told everybody to leave her alone, to make sure they left her alone. And he didn't even know at that point that she was a kinsman of his, you know. And then she came one night, her mother-in-law told her to go in and lay at Boaz's feet. And she laid at his feet. And when he woke up, he was startled. And then she told him that she was one of his, his kinsmen. And, you know, he took her under his wings, so to speak, and he, you know, protected her and gave her way more, told them to not glean everything, to leave more for her so that she could get it and everything. You know, that's the way the Lord is. He always gives you that supply. But anyway, it ended up where, after a while, he ended up marrying her, you know. And when he did, the line of Jesus Christ came out of those two, out of Ruth and Boaz, you know. But anyway, Jesus was our kinsman Redeemer. He's already redeemed us. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. You know, like Clyde was saying, he was crucified before the foundation of the world. The scripture declares that. You know, it was part of God's plan for him to come as the kinsman Redeemer. And you know, I've studied in Revelations different times where it talks about the lambkin and the lamb in Revelations. And if you look it up, it's the word lambkin. And I like the word lambkin because he's the lamb and his kin. That's who he represents there, the lamb and his kin. And we're his kin. And you know, I shared a few weeks ago with you about where the scripture says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, and you know, we're to count ourselves as being crucified on a daily basis. And when we do that, we were talking back in Sunday school about presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Because what we were talking about back there was about you being sanctified. People want to know how they got sanctified, you know. And I told them, I said, well, Romans the 12th chapter tells you. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And that's the formula right there. That's what you need to do. And I was telling them about Lonnie. I said, you know, Lonnie used to say in Sunday school almost every time, he says, I get up every morning and I say, Lord, I present my body unto you. And he'd say, you know, you lead me, you guide me today. You take me where you want me to go, whatever. And you know, that's all we can do, is just present ourselves like that. And you know, God's in control of everything that comes our way. He can send the right things our way, or he can allow some things that maybe aren't so good to come our way. But we know that as being Christians, what the word says, that all things, how many's all things? It's all. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And you know, you were called for a purpose. You were called, and God knows the purpose in your life, and he's the one that will bring it about, you know. And the next scripture here is Isaiah 44:24, and says, thus saith the Lord, Redeemer, that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, and stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and spread abroad the earth by myself. And Psalm 19:14 says this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And you know, we have to acknowledge him as Redeemer every day, every day. 1 Peter says this, we're not redeemed with silver or gold, but with precious blood of Christ. He was the Lamb of God, and he was slain from the foundation of the world, who gave his life a ransom for us. And you were born again, not of the corruptible seed of Adam, but of the incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you each day. And as the cloud did for Israel in the wilderness, that's what God wants to do for you by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I just want you to know that God will lead you. He will guide you. He'll take you to where you want to go. He'll cause you to do the things he wants you to do. You know, you don't have to try to make things happen, but what you need to do is be obedient and move and flow with God and let him make happen what he wants to happen, and he will do that. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all I had to share with you today, and if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. I am going to read you something else. I'm going to read you this prophecy that was given to this church. And it was given to this church, I don't even know how many years ago it was, but I was just looking through some of my papers and I found it. And it says, a word from the Lord. It says, it was not by chance that I have called you wings, For many have come and found safety, refuge, and strength, and have taken in the meat and the milk of my word, and have grown wings sufficient to soar above the storms, and become a place of refuge and strength, a place of help and hope. Many have come and many have gone, and many shall yet come, and you shall still be wings to them, a place of healing and help until they are strengthened into a full-grown eagle. You know, this church was named after the scripture in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we used to sing the song, we'd say, teach me, Lord, to wait. And the wings that you use are the wings of prayer and praise. And if you learn to praise Him in all things, and you learn to acknowledge Him in all things, and to pray without ceasing, like we were talking about back in Sunday school, you know, then you're going to soar in the heavenlies with Him. You're going to see things from a different perspective, because the higher you go and look down, the clearer you begin to see things, and you see things that you can't see from this earthly realm. But God's going to start giving you even eagle vision. And I believe that with all my heart. And, you know, it's going to be a wonderful thing, because you're going to see things, you're going to walk into situations, and right away you're going to know exactly what's going on. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to just bless your people. I ask you to just give them a great week, Father. Let them just feel your presence and know that that you dwell inside of them, and that Christ in them is the hope of glory. And let them go everywhere they go, Father. Let them just be an encouragement to those around them. And we'll be most careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.